Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 497. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Hello!
And Jeff.
I'm here, present.
Earl is somewhere. We're not sure where. We're really not. Like, everyone's kind of stuck in their house, but we don't know. Earl went MIA for the last few hours.
So. Yeah, he's been quiet, like, everywhere, it seems like, so... Maybe he's busy doing something.
Yeah, I hope everything's all right. He may join us later. But yeah, we've been playing some games. Not really anything new, although we'll get to one that Tony's been playing that's not new, but adds new content constantly. Everything else going good with you guys?
Oh, sure. Why not?
It's going to be a long year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking yeah.
A. Yes, it is. Crazy people everywhere.
Mm-hmm. The crazies.
Yeah.
So many crazies. Exactly. Why are there so many crazies?
Yeah, it's a damn good question, Tony. I wish we knew why. What Wisconsin's Supreme Court overturned their stay-at-home order, and immediately people ran out to the bars. Like,
yeah, I saw that too, and I got upset about it too because like that's real close to me, you know, like
fucking yeah.
Shit's gonna blow up in Wisconsin and in Northern Illinois. So wonderful. Great, thanks guys, thanks.
Yep. Well. And then you're actually out there like every day, so
yeah,
makes it worse. But
pretty sure I got the immunity.
We hope so.
But you know, I don't know. Yeah, we hope so.
And so then, far, so good. Any more doors closed on you, Jeff?
No, but oh my god, that pissed me off. I don't know if we do a full story for the show, but basically I was like unloading a bunch of shit out of a truck and bring it into someone's apartment building, and I had the door propped open and someone just closed the door. As I'm doing it right in front of them, like, okay, people. Thanks, dude.
No fucking respect.
Like, you had to see me. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I can see if you just came down, there's nothing there, you're like, alright, why is the door propped open? But... Anyways, yeah,
especially if you're right in front of them.
Kind of fumed about that for a couple hours yesterday.
Tony, everything good with you?
Oh yeah, they've decided that some of our places can reopen, which is probably not for the best, but hey.
Yeah.
We all got to die sometime, right?
I guess that's the approach we're taking.
It's not funny, but I'm just.
Gotta laugh.
New Jersey just announced that they're reopening their beaches in time for Memorial Day. it's like
fucking Jaws. Family trip.
No.
To
I don't like the beach anyway. But.
What is the name of the town in Jaws?
Oh, crap.
Is it Amity? Something like that?
It's something like that, yeah. It's a little island, isn't it? Like,
yeah, plan your trip.
Yeah. I don't like the beach anyway, but...
By the way, I'm just going to throw this out here and, like, think of it what you will, but for Recurring Nightmares, Episode 3, coming in July, Jaws is a clue. It's not the movie, but it's a clue.
All right. Jaws 2 and Jaws
3. Thought about it.
Yeah, so, you know, to stay sane, we have been playing some games. New release is a little bit slow coming out, but so we've returned to some classics.
Well, you might call it that.
Jeff, you returned to a series that has some classic games. You did not return to a game that is considered a classic.
Oh, come on. It like went back to the original title. It had to be good. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, talk about Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5. I mean, you go back to that Pro Skater moniker, it's got to be, you know, you're returning to the roots. this is going to be the real one this time, guys. Remember that?
Yep, I do. And I remember us being excited for it, too. Yeah. You definitely more than myself.
It was one of the first, like, retail games that I, like, pre-ordered digitally, like, back in, I think it was 2015 when it came out. You know, I usually still bought stuff physical. In part because of the Amazon discount you used to get, you know, it would be, like, 20% off, I think, in new games. Something right. like that. So... yeah, I was so hyped for Tony Hawk that I fucking like pre-ordered that game, and we remember how that turned out, right, guys? It was great.
Sure, it was so awesome.
I think it won our most disappointing game that year.
Probably. And I actually watched a pretty long video recently on YouTube. Like, it was like what happened with that game, and it was. It was you know, it was a cash grab to begin with. Like, they were just there. The license was almost up with Tony Hawk, so they like, you know, they're like, let's just do one last game, and they just decided let's call it Pro Skater 5 because that'll get people like to believe it's going to be good. And they gave it to Robomoto, which not a really. I actually don't want to blame them too much, but like they're not like a proven great studio. No,
didn't they do the.
Like the board, like the peripheral.
But then they did that one, yeah, Tony Hawk Ride. But didn't they do the HD, like?
Yes,
which wasn't great. It was fine.
It felt off.
Yeah.
The physics didn't feel like they did in the original. Yeah, yeah. So it was them. The real problem was they like gave them no budget and no time to get the game done. They gave them like. I think the game was made within a couple months, you know. So that, yeah. The end result was kind of a disaster.
So why have you returned to Tony Hawk 5?
Dear God, why? Okay. Why?
Also, Earl has joined us. So.
Welcome, Earl.
He's entered the studio.
So, one factor was, you know, I guess we're going to get into this, Tony Hawk 1 and 2... like collection got announced this week. So that like got like the Tony Hawk like hype and nostalgia kind of going for everybody. But also just because like on my Xbox, you know how like if you leave your Xbox idle for a while, it just starts like it'll be like Korea 9 is playing Castlevania and they're like still just start like showing you shit with like screensaver shit.
Yep.
For the longest time now, it's been telling me about like these two achievements I almost have in Tony Hawk 5. And it's just been like eating away at me. I'm like, well, I love Tony Hawk and you know, those achievements take a while to get. Might as well like try to go like they're only like I think they're both like 10-point achievements.
You got tempted by two 10-point achievements?
Yes. And what I forgot what the first one was. I did it like a couple weeks ago, but last night I had today off, so last night I was like I'm gonna drink some beer and I'm just like sitting there and I'm, like thinking about Tony Hawk and I was like fuck it, I'm gonna go get that achievement. And the achievement was like it was like perform 25,000 tricks across all game modes.
Oh wow.
And I was at 92% of that, so I'm trying to do the math in my head, like roughly 10% out of, so I still had to do like I needed to do like 2,500 tricks to get this achievement.
Oh, wow. And so you just go to practice and just run back and forth through the ramps?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm skating around. I'm having fun. I'm actually trying to do... Because they actually added levels to the game after it came out. And so I was trying to do some of the objectives on that. They were like free, you know, add-ons or whatever. But yeah, eventually I just started doing kickflips. Like kickflip, kickflip, like standing in place, just doing kickflips.
Yep.
But
that sounds about right.
Even, you know, I was, you know, for the most part playing and messing around in the game. And it only took me like, I don't know, 2.5 hours to get there. And which is so, like I started thinking about it. You know, it's like 1% of players have gotten this achievement. So I'm like... So most people who bought Tony Hawk 5 like did not even play it for like 10 hours. Pretty bad.
I did not.
You did buy it though, didn't you?
Yes. I don't think I bought it digitally though. think that might have been... No, you know what? I rented it from Redbox, which was maybe the smartest decision there.
I will say, like, it's a bad game. There's all sorts of issues with it, and, you know, many of them still persist to this day. Like, just stupid things, like... You're playing a level, and you want to switch a level, you just have to do exit game. You have to, like, go all the way back to the main menu to switch to, like, how come there's just not, like, an option where you, when you press start, you know, change level. Like,
right.
Like, stupid shit like that. But they, like, they've also improved certain things. Like, there are, I think, two or three new levels that weren't there when the game first came out. It still doesn't add up to a lot. Like, I think it's like maybe 7 or 8 levels. Like, it really is. You just tell this game was just so rushed, and I don't know. Like, it's just not a good game. But, you know, they have fixed some things. They added those levels. They, like, there was this move in the game where, like, you would slam down with your skateboard, and sometimes you would do it accidentally when you were just trying to, I don't know, catch a rail or something, like grind, or not trying to do that at all. I forgot how it worked exactly, but they, like, changed it so you have to, like, double tap. It's like double tap, I think, Y or A in order to do that move now. I don't know, they, like, fixed little things to it. And I'm not saying the game is good, but, like, also, if you're, like, dying to play Tony Hawk before this collection comes out, it's probably cheap. Huh?
Which is soon, I mean.
I mean, you got the whole summer. Months, yeah.
I think I can hold off.
Yeah, I mean, sure most people will be just fine. But, you know, it is the only recent Tony Hawk game, and I'm assuming it's, like, probably, like, $20 now to download. I would say, like, honestly, yeah, it's not a good game, but for $20, it's not the end of the world either. Like, it is, but still, like...
other games you get for $20.
Yeah, so no, I'm saying, if you want to play Tony Hawk, like, there's no other real option on the, like, the current systems. That's kind of
if you want to play Tony Hawk and you hate yourself just a little bit, perfect.
Play Tony Hawk 5. Are any of the, were there any Xbox 360 ones besides the HD one?
Oh, yeah, there were plenty. There was at least 2 legit ones. Like, there were, I mean, like, real Tony Hawk games. There was American... Wasteland?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, like, a cross-gen title. And then there was Project 8, which is, like, one of my favorite ones. I don't know if it's backwards compatible, though.
Right, wait, I was gonna ask if they were backwards compatible.
I think, like, a lot of the 360 games are now, but I think that one, I don't know. I'll check during the show.
Because of the licensed music in them, I wonder because in a lot of cases, what they did was make them, like, they're not only disc based, but they're also available to buy digitally.
Yeah.
And I wonder if, you know, with the license expiring, if Activision ever renewed any of that shit. So,
like, if Project 8 is available for download, I would get it. Like, I think Project 8 is really good, actually. So. You know, I'm looking it up. I'll get there in a minute or two. But yeah, again, it's like, I'm not defending the game and saying it's good in any way. But, like, ultimately, if you want to play some Tony Hawk, like, the physics of it do feel right in 5, in my opinion. And especially after they fix some of the control issues and shit with it, like, it's still fun to, like, skate around in that game, despite the fact that, like, all the objectives are lame, and there's all sorts of, like, technical issues with the game.
As long as you're having fun with it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm done. Like, I don't think I'm going to do...
Until another one pops up, it's like, you could have this achievement too. Yeah,
maybe.
Think of all the other achievements you could have. Come on, you want them all.
You just need to play it for 97 more hours. So... Earl, maybe you could fill us in on the Tony Hawk 1 and 2. Is it a remaster or a remake? Do we know what it is?
I guess technically it would be a remake. I mean, because from what I understand, I think they're also rescanning the characters. They're aging them up to what they currently are. And they're also adding moves that were introduced later on into the game.
Reverts and stuff like that.
They're aging up the characters from Tony Hawk 1 and 2.
Yeah, because they're doing
scans. It's awesome.
They're going to have like 50-year-old Tony Hawk.
That's right.
Awesome.
It's got to be more realistic with the old Tony Hawk.
By the way, real quick before we get into this, none of the Tony Hawks are backwards compatible. So, again, if you want to play Tony Hawk, it's Tony Hawk 5. But anyways.
Until September.
Yeah.
And I think the big thing for a lot of people with this, and again, I apologize for joining late, is that for a lot of people, it also has the original soundtrack, which is something they work
with. It'll have songs from the original soundtrack.
It has Superman, which is important.
Yeah, it won't have the full soundtrack of 1 and 2, though. I don't think. Because they very, very specifically worded that.
Oh, it's like, it probably can't renew the license on all
of them. It doesn't say original soundtrack. It says songs from the,
from the original. But yeah, I mean, that's a step forward, because I know that was missing for a lot of people.
I will say this. Like, Tony Hawk 5 has like maybe 5 songs, but they all fucking rule. They like totally sound like a Tony Hawk soundtrack. Anyways, sorry.
No, but yeah, I think it's closer to a remake. I mean, I guess a remastered too.
It's a remake.
It's by the people who did Crash and Spyro, right?
Yeah. Vicarious Visions, who, if I'm correct, they took over the series.
Like, I think they were the original effect.
No, it was never.
Neversoft did the first one.
Oh, right.
First couple. Vicarious did, in my opinion, some good ones. So, like, to me, it's a huge upgrade from Robomoto. I mean, again, not to be mean to Robomoto, because I think they did what they could.
But I'm going to be mean to them.
No. I'm not saying they suck. I'm just saying Vicarious Visions.
Nobody said you were saying they suck. Now I feel like you are saying they suck.
I trust Vicarious Visions to handle.
I'm not saying they're awful human beings, but they did murder their parents.
I'm the only one that's like kind of apologetic about Tony Hawk.
Yeah, no, I did not like that game at all. Neversoft did the first few.
There might have been Vicarious that did Project 8, maybe. I don't know that Neversoft was still on the case at that point.
They were on it through American Wasteland.
So then maybe
they did Project 8. Vicarious Visions did parts of Proving Ground,
which is not a good one. That is I've like written about this. That to me is like where the series fell apart, and that was still just a regular ass Tony Hawk game. And I was like, that was like that era, like Tony Hawk was like an annual series, like Call of Duty, and like it was pretty popular up to a point.
I mean, it's weird to think about, but Tony Hawk was Activision's Call of Duty before Call of Duty.
And it was it wasn't ever, don't get me wrong, it was never as big as Call of Duty, but it was a very popular series. And like, I mean, at least for me, it was a big deal. Like, every new one I was like very excited about. So,
yeah, nothing was as big as Call of Duty until Call of Duty. But for like annual franchises, it was really the first. I mean, like, we had sports games, but I feel like it was a different beast, because there was a dynamic around that game, because I think you were into Tony Hawk games because you were into that lifestyle. Not you, but and it's I don't know if you talked about it. I remember I remember playing, I think it was one of the first games on like the Dreamcast demos that I played a crap ton of, and I think they're doing the same demo for this one as well, which is like the first stage
warehouse. Yeah.
And just playing that, constantly. But I also, I was a fan, and I know a lot of people aren't, of Downhill Jam, the one for the Wii launch title.
Yeah. I didn't love it, but like, it did grow on me a little bit. Like, it is, like, it's kind of Tony Hawk-ish. It's just, it's like kind of a.
If it wasn't Tony Hawk branded, I think it would have done much better reception wise. Because I do like the idea of having like this down, like you're basically controlling
SSX, kind of,
Yeah, because you're not controlling the player so much as controlling the skateboard, essentially.
Yeah.
And you're just doing tricks as you're moving forward.
Was it like, you know, instead of a giant mountain in SXX, like they were using a, like basically you skate down the hills of San Francisco or something? Like,
yeah, pretty much.
Okay. It's not a bad idea.
No, I think it's a great, but I think it was because it was not what people expected from Tony Hawk. It just did not, it did not, it was not received well.
That might have been Robomoto 2, or no, I think it was like
Toys for Bob.
Yeah, Toys for Bob, yep.
The Skylanders people.
Yep.
So they broke even. good on them.
Robomoto did Tony Hawk Ride and Tony Hawk Shred.
And then Tony Hawk HD, yeah.
And the first HD.
And the one that killed the series, Part 5.
Yeah, well...
But it was
going to be the last one pretty much no matter what, until apparently now.
Well, I mean, part of it was also like, I mean, downhill, I mean, that extreme sports thing has kind of died down big time from when it was peak at the start and the mid-90s.
Yeah.
I mean, you still got Vin Diesel trying to do movies with it, but...
Yeah, but it's not like that. Like that was like around the time when the X Games kind of launched off, kicked off big, and
yeah,
like, skateboarding and snowboarding were huge at that time. Now they're kind of just there.
Yeah.
I'm interested in this whatever it is.
I trust it to be solid. But it is funny, I saw like Jeff Gerstmann actually note this, like, we kind of got this back on the original Xbox. There was a game called Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2X, and it was basically what this is. Like, it was like 1 and 2 slapped together with some extra shit, so I wonder if they'll like bring over any, like, because I think that one did have a couple extra levels and shit. Like, I wonder if they'll bring over any of that shit. Probably doubtful, but has been done before, and I do that one. I know it would play on my Xbox 360. I don't know if it would play on my Xbox One. Probably not, but it's good. It's a good one. I have it somewhere.
Did I hear it's $40?
It is, and there's a $40, a $60, and a $100. I almost went with a $60 because I'm such a huge fan of the series, but like, I looked at what it was. It was just, it didn't sound.
Is it just skins and stuff, or?
Yeah, like that. There's like, you get like one extra character to skate as, and like extra tools and or stuff to create a park, which I don't do. So
right,
I was like, I'm good with $40.
The $100 one comes with a deck, doesn't it?
Yeah,
like an actual skateboard deck.
Yeah.
I would have broken my hip trying to skateboard 20 years ago. Certainly not going to try now, but that's cool.
Yeah. But even super fan here, me, I'm just going with the good old $40.
Yeah, what are you going to do with a skateboard deck, Jeff? Like, yeah. I really like Tony Hawk, and I'm putting this up by my TV.
Yeah, right.
Your girlfriend would love that.
Yeah. Fucking skateboard on the wall.
Oh. You play anything else?
I played through Link's Awakening again, like the Switch version.
The little cute looking one.
Yeah. I think I was kind of hard on it last year when it came out. I don't even know if it made my top 10.
You didn't seem to love it at the time.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it was great, so I don't know. I know what my problem was with it. It was like,
it's not there is too.
Huh?
It's not Breath of the Wild 2.
Yeah, it might have been some of that, but like, I don't know, like, I was excited to play like a more traditional Zelda, and I love the 2D Zelda games. I think it was, like, that game is a little bit of a departure in some ways. Like, there's just weird little differences, like say you have a fairy in a bottle, when you get killed by a boss, like, it doesn't automatically refill your health, like, you have to use that bottle. Like, you use that fairy before you get killed. Again, that's, like, a really little thing, but they're just, like, little things that feel different about it. And, I mean, it is, like, we're talking about a game that was a Game Boy game, so it's like,
yeah.
When you think about it as like a Game Boy game, it's way more impressive than when you think about it as like a brand new 2D Zelda. Like, yeah, it's not like, it's not as good as some of the other 2D Zeldas, in my opinion. I know some people love that game; it's their favorite. But I don't know. Like, another thing is like, it did have some obscure like trading sequence stuff in the game, but it's really just if you make sure to talk to like every villager and stuff, you'll be fine. I don't know. Like, like Chris, I know you. Like, I think you like prefer 2D Zelda too, right? Like,
I do.
Yeah, like, and you didn't play this one, did you?
No, it's been sitting there in my like Amazon kind of wish list. Been like,
you should buy this. You should play it. I mean, you know, it's not going to be a super busy summer, at least until July. You should play it. Like, I think you'd like it. I think I sold it pretty short. It's a cool game. Like, it's just, yeah, it's just a little different. There's a lot of Zeldas like that are a little different. Like, you know, like Majora's Mask or Minish Cap and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. It's.
Hey, what did you call that?
I'm sorry.
Did you say Minish Cap?
It's Minish Cap.
Is it not Minish?
It's Minish.
Okay.
I mean, it's. I know people call it Minish, but I call it Minish. It's like, I say Ninja Gaiden. I don't know if people say it a different way. It's how I say it.
Ninja Gaiden.
I decide.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's how it is.
I think I know, but yeah.
For years, like, I mean, yeah.
And I don't know what is correct for Minish.
Dumb 10-year-old so kid, it was Ninja Gaiden, but
I believe it's pronounced Ninja, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, Ninja. Ninja Gaiden.
I think I've also heard people be like, Gaiden, or like, try to like do it weird.
Yeah, Gaiden, I think is.
It's just Ninja Gaiden. I think when I was a little kid, I did used to call it Ninja Gaiden.
I mean, what would you? Why would you know how to pronounce like?
Exactly, it's totally made up. Fucking, you know. Yeah. And back then, it was like you read about video games in magazines, so you don't know.
Right. You pronounce them, like, yeah. And like you're not gonna be like, "Hey, Dad, how do you pronounce this?"
Yeah,
the fuck are you?
I don't know. Like,
oh,
but yeah, play Link's Awakening.
Do all it. Right. Anything else?
I guess real quick.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you mentioned about Tony Hawk, but I will say I do like how apparently it wasn't supposed to be how it came out, but I do like how it came out. I think the idea of like texting fans, oh yeah, I'm doing a new game, I'm doing a remaster. I thought that was a really cool and different way to, because like people were like, oh yeah, Tony Hawk texted me saying that there's gonna be a remaster of his game. People, I'm like, wait, what? That's not true. And that's how it came
like
out.
Like a year ago, he like put up like, oh, like if you text me at this phone number, I will text you back or something, like some sort of weird
basically just gave out his number on Twitter and,
yeah, it was probably like an automated number set up for super celebrity Tony Hawk, like not his actual phone number, but that's neat. It is a neat way of doing it.
The only other thing I have played, well, I don't say the only other thing, but I restarted Breath of the Wild after I was done with Link's Awakening. Deleted my old hundreds of hours file, started a new one, and having a lot of fun.
Couldn't you just start a second file? Or
it's one file per account, I think, on Breath of the Wild.
So it's not, you could have like created another account.
Yeah,
right?
I could have. Yeah, I don't know. Like, what do I care? Like, I'm not...
Right.
Anything like
that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
My son does that for every game that has that restriction. So he's got like six accounts.
I mean, it is like, I'll have to do everything again, like all the DLC to like get, like, you know, I did all the DLC in that game. Like, I had all this cool shit. I had the motorcycle. But all right, now I have a reason to keep playing or whatever. But having a lot of fun with that game. I mean, we've talked to that game to death on here, so not much to say, but other than like they can make the sequel pretty much just like that, and I'm totally fucking good with it. Like, that's fine by me.
Can we have breakable weapons this time?
I mean, even that,
I know you don't mind it.
That's why I'm like,
if they fix
I don't care.
That issue, I will be there day fine. One for that game. If they don't fix that issue, I'm probably not gonna play
I don't know, we'll see. I wonder if they'll modify the I wonder if they'll modify the dungeons at all to make them feel more traditional. That's like I think the only thing I don't really love about them is the big, you know, like there's like four big dungeons.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say I wonder if they would try it because I think they'll want to do the weapon durability, but I wonder if they're gonna be like, oh yeah, there are ways to like, if you beat the dungeons, you'll unlock weapons that don't break, but maybe don't do as much damage. Because I mean, technically, the Master Sword doesn't break; it just becomes useless at times.
Yeah. That's a waste to me.
Earl cut out for me for a second there, but I mean, there is the Master Sword, you know.
Right. Well, what Earl was saying was that, it becomes useless. Like it doesn't break, but it like, I guess goes on a cooldown or something.
Right.
It temporarily breaks. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, but then it's always like, you always have like a, like already, like I'm like only a couple hours in, I already have like a ton of like cool ass weapons. So like one breaks, I got another one up. Like, but then again, like I would like to see them almost go more RPG ish with it. Like they did with like the armor in the game where you could like upgrade it and shit. Let me upgrade my weapons. Like instead of have them be like breakable, you know,
that would be much better.
Yeah. Like if we could like, oh, like I don't know if there's certain games where there's like durability of your weapons. They don't necessarily break, but you need to like
Monster Hunter, every once in a while, right? After like a couple hours of use.
Yeah, like in Monster Hunter, like your sword doesn't necessarily break, but it like starts to become less useful, so you have to use like a whetstone to sharpen it. Be fine with that. Like it's just like, all right, I'm using a sword. Oh, now I have to use a stick or a spear, which I don't want to use.
But then also add that I could, you know, upgrade the weapon too. Like, you could have that like slow, you know, degradability or whatever where you have to like repair. But also let me like do ++ on like the weapons.
Yeah, make it better. Yeah.
That's about it. That's my notes for them. Like otherwise, I think Breath of the Wild is still so fucking great. I'm having so much fun playing it again. So it's like pulled me off of Animal Crossing, honestly. Like where like I do kind of what you do, Chris, where like I go in, I check it on Animal Crossing every day. It's like do my chores and I'm done. Like,
yeah. Well, now that KK Slider has shown up and I've seen the credits, I don't go in every day anymore.
You don't even go in every day. I finally just this week got the last addition to my house, the basement. So, like today, I got that. So I have even less reason to like keep chasing things. Now it's just gonna be about like I'm not gonna do like obsessive, crazy town building shit that people do. I'm just gonna, you know, check it on my villagers and try to get new villagers and check it on the holidays and all that. You know?
I think I'm gonna delete my save file and let my son start playing, so he can start over.
You have him move into your town.
He could just take over your township.
Right. Well, he could, but he'd have no idea. Like they do all the stuff that tells you what to do and where to go.
Yeah.
Any of that. So he has to start from the beginning. Plus, you know, all my villagers would probably hate him. He'd like show up. He'd be like, "Where have you been? It's been like a month." Because I haven't signed in since before I moved, which is like 5 weeks ago now.
Horrible.
Could be fun for him.
Yeah.
Tony, what have you been playing?
Oh, I've been wanting to talk about this game for Jeff for a while. So the game is called Victory and Glory: The American Civil War.
Okay, let me go grab a beer.
It's a grand strategy game about the Civil War. It has a very like kind of light board gamey feel to it, except for the fact that for some odd reason you can only play versus the AI. So you can play as the Union or you can play as the Confederacy, but you can't play against another player playing as the other one, which is kind of odd to me. But it's really like it's really high level. It's really simple. So it's unlike a lot of the strategy games I play. It's super easy to pick up and like understand what's going on. A lot of the stuff is abstracted, so it's really easy to understand. I don't know. There are some things about it that I like. I like the fact that it plays so quickly. Like, I played through the entire Civil War in like 5 hours. Which,
you sped run this Civil War?
Sorry?
You sped run this Civil War?
I did. I zoomed right through. Actually, though, I won the Civil War in December of 1862, which is way quicker than it actually went. But, you know, whatever. I'm awesome. But oddly, the strategy I used to win the war would not have been acceptable for the actual Union to win the war, because all I basically did was build a really big army at Washington, D.C., and let it sit there while the Confederates like fiddled around Richmond, and then I just used my other armies to just take all of their other territory, whereas historically, the press would have been like, no, you can't do that, on to Richmond, and you'd had to like fight battles there, but all I was doing was just sitting there. It was kind of easy to overwhelm the AI. The game has kind of, there's a strategic map where you move your armies around, mm-hmm. and then in kind of like a Total War fashion, when two armies are in the same area, they fight on like a tactical battle fight. Unlike Total War, though, it's not like an entire
you don't see the really, whole battlefield.
Well, you kind of just, it's really abstracted. So there's like 12 positions for each army, and the game kind of throws in a bunch of random terrain, and your units show up as cards on the battlefield, and you like move them forward, and there's like dice rolls going on in the background. It's not complicated. The AI is not awesome at the actual tactical battles. So it was kind of easy to defeat it. Like, the troops are like deployed into like, so you have your 12 spots. 4 of them are the right flank, 4 of them are the left flank, and 4 of them are the center. And if you empty one of your opponent's flanks or the center, the battle's over and you win. And the AI seems really bad at like balancing. So it was pretty easy to like keep forcing my troops into one of those spots, like keep adding troops into the right flank, because the AI was trying to like distribute all its stuff equally. So it was kind of easy to like punch through in that one spot eventually. So I won almost every battle that I fought, which, you know, kind of makes it easy to win the war.
Right, if you're winning everything.
But, you know, I enjoyed it. It's always nice to kick the snot out of the Confederacy, because they deserve it. So, yeah, it was fun. But I don't know. Like, it's cheap. It's a good way to spend a few hours. There's not a whole lot of replayability there. Once you've played through it once, like, the fact that you can play through it once as each side, I suppose. And then at that point, you're kind of done, because there's only one scenario. There's no like multiplayer, which probably would give it a ton of replayability.
Right. If you, like you said, like if you could play against somebody else, like then right. It becomes a one-on-one strategy game.
Right. And it's, like I said, it's not complicated. So you could, you know, play against anybody and teach them how to play. It's not hard. It's really odd that they didn't offer that as an option.
Especially with like AI that seems pretty stupid.
Yeah, the AI is better at the strategic part of the game than it is at the tactical battles. I don't know if you like turn up the level, then it starts cheating at the dice rolls in the tactical battles, which is also not an awesome way of
that's
not fun. Like you're throwing troops and they're just dying. Like, why are they dying? Well, because the AI is adding 2 to every roll or something. That sucks. So, you know, it was worth the playthrough, but I probably wouldn't give it my, you know, strategy gamer stamp of approval. It's just fun for a little while, but I look forward to other games coming later this fall.
No, not the strategy game stamp of approval.
I'm much more excited. There's a game coming out this summer called Grand Tactician, which is much closer to what a Total War strategy game should look like. So I'm way more excited for that one.
Is that what kind of wars are that? Is that another Civil War game?
That's a Civil War again, and it is in the same kind of Total War bend, where you have the strategic overmap and then a real-time tactical battle when two armies meet each other. And it's also got a lot of like historical flair in there, and it's going to be way more complicated than this game was.
Yeah, I like when, and you said that this victory game didn't do that, but I like when strategy games give you a like a challenge type thing where it's like, oh, you're at Gettysburg, and like the real battle was X, Y, and Z, but we're going to take away Z.
Yeah.
So like you have to figure out a way to win with only these two things.
Yeah. And there's a lot of Total War games that do that. They'll give you like historical battles and be like, okay, and you're the losing side and figure out how to win.
Right. Like that's like the fun part.
Yeah.
Of it. It's like, yeah. How can I rewrite history? So what else have you been playing?
The other big game of this week has been Apex Legends, which launched its fifth season on Tuesday. They added a new character, Loba, who's like the loot gobbler. She's awesome, actually. I've had some really good matches with her. She has this bracelet that she throws, and wherever it lands, she could teleport to that spot.
Nice.
So if you're like looking to like outflank somebody really quickly in a battle, or I saw one of my teammates do this earlier today. He dropped it at his feet and then ran away and then teleported himself back to where he was. So like it just confuses the heck out of the people you're playing against.
Right. It's like, what are they doing? Where'd they go?
Yes. So her ultimate is like this store that opens up in the middle of the battlefield. And it throws out this like radius around it. And you can go into that store and take any item, any two items you want that's inside that radius. This includes items that your opponents may hold. So like you could steal somebody's gold helmet or whatever.
Wow.
In the middle of a fight. Like the issue is like the second that thing goes up, it launches a like wave. So everybody sees that it's there. So it kind of announces your presence.
Right.
It's something that makes it really easy to like, if you're looting early on and you're looking for like specific stuff and you're like in a high tier area and you're not fighting anyone, it's awesome for those situations because you don't have to go through like every building looking for like, you know, your purple armor or whatever you happen to be searching for. But when you get closer to the end, you kind of don't want to use it at that point because it shows everyone exactly where you are in like really spectacular fashion. And then they, let's see. So they took the map, the original map, and like blew it up. So huge portions of it have been changed, removed, altered. I think the current map is way better than it used to be. The areas seem to be a lot more even. So in previous iterations, there were a ton of areas where you'd have one team would be at a huge disadvantage if they were coming from one area because everything that they were walking towards would be way above them. And they seem to have eliminated a lot of that kind of stuff. There's also lots of underground tunnels and stuff that weren't around before.
Okay.
So the new map is cool. Lots of new areas to check out. And then they added this like season-long quest thing where you can... and you can only find one per day, but there are little treasure boxes inside the looting areas. And as you find more treasure boxes, it unlocks parts to this quest that goes on as the season goes. And as you get enough boxes, you can unlock player versus enemy missions. The trouble is, like, it takes a while to get to that point. So, like, the first treasure box unlocks the prologue, which is just this, like, text-based story.
Wow.
The first mission occurs after you get 4 more treasure boxes. But like I said, you can only get 1 per day. So I haven't acted since it's only day 3.
Yeah.
I don't have enough treasure boxes to get to that yet. So I'll be telling you all about the player versus enemy later, because I don't have enough treasure boxes to have played it yet.
Well, it sounds like nobody does, right?
No, nobody. You can't. You literally can't have it.
Yeah, like that. That's actually the part that I was interested in. Because, like, yeah, I mean, the mechanics of Apex are great.
Yeah,
and being able to play that like in an environment like where it's just you versus the environment, maybe with a squad or whatever.
Right.
That sounds really cool. But
no, it looks super cool from the videos they've shown off. But I kind of worry maybe it's not as deep as they pretend it to be, because right. They've kind of parceled it out so much. Like maybe I'm wrong. Maybe when I actually get a chance to play, it'll be super cool. Or maybe it's not all that, which is why they've kind of parceled it out the way that they have.
Right.
I don't know.
But it's neat that, you know, they've added something like that. And even if it ends up not being ultimately great, it is neat that they added something in like that to the game.
Yeah. They also made a whole bunch of other changes. Little small stuff. Some of the characters that were useless before, like Mirage, have been dramatically improved. So I don't know how much Apex you've played, but Mirage is the illusionist character. Like, he can set out a decoy of himself.
Yep.
The trouble is that the decoy has never looked realistic. Like, they would just run to a certain point and like stand still.
They were like the decoys in like Halo Reach, like where they would just like run forward, right? Like,
yeah. Now, when you launch a decoy, you can tag it so that it follows your motions exactly.
Oh, nice.
So whoever's shooting it, you need to figure out which one is the actual real you. And then when he drops his ultimate, I think he throws out like 5 decoys. And it does the same thing. Like, all 5 of them can copy your motions exactly. So at that point, it becomes really difficult to figure out which one is the real one.
So like 5 run off in different directions, and if you jump, they jump. And if you turn left, they turn left. Like, so it just kind of like spirals out. That could be kind of cool.
Exactly. I had one where I was going down a corridor, and I put out my decoy and turned around. So I was running one direction down the corridor, and my decoy was running the opposite direction. So, you know, good luck. Figure out which one is me. So that's pretty cool.
Neat.
Yeah.
So,
new season's a lot of fun. I look forward to playing a ton of it again.
Cool. I have, I finished Animal Crossing. Finished, you know.
you saw the credits run?
Yeah.
KK Slider.
Yeah. KK Slider showed up. And I don't like, I'll join every once in a while. I'll probably check out Holidays, but I'm done playing it every day.
Sad day.
It's fine. It's not, like, it's not a game for me.
I do think, and I know you didn't play it this way, but I will say it's also been 6 weeks. I do think the game isn't supposed to be played hot and heavy like a lot of people have been playing it, just because everybody's at home quarantine. So I am kind of at the point now, and we'll get to this when I talk about my games, where I still play it, but I've kind of transitioned to, like, I'll check my terminal prices in the morning. In the afternoon, I'll check the prices and do any chores. And then, like, if friends have something going on, I'll check it in. But I'm not, like, doing it constantly anymore.
Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, I find myself playing it less just because, you know, yeah, I'm playing other games more. But I do think it might ebb and flow a little bit. Where, like, maybe in the summertime, I'll be, like, into it, playing it more. But I've kind of accomplished the big things that you can, you know? So it's like,
right. Now it's a matter of, like, when they have big events or, like, you know, holidays and
like, Earl's right, though, because, like, that shit would be a little more spread out if you played it more. Like, you're supposed to play it kind of more like how you do, Chris, where it's like you just play like a little bit each day, you know?
Right, because like, there were people getting KK Slider like what, yeah. 2 weeks in. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's like it took me 6 weeks because I was playing, you know, half hour, hour a day.
I still don't have KK Slider.
Wow.
There you go.
Part of that, though, is I was not like I was not concerned myself with the town ratings and stuff, but I was told like that's how you ultimately see a credit. So I started to focus in on that. But even that, because like I think I mentioned this on the show before, I don't want a full town. I don't want a bunch of random strangers in my island.
Right,
it's and that my deserted island.
Yeah, can we talk about that for a minute? Like, so you get taken to this deserted island. And then you're basically put to work by this raccoon who then goes like, I want this like music superstar to show up on our island that I've trapped you on. And I own everything, including the bank. And the only way to do it is for you to improve my island by giving me money.
Oh, my favorite part, because like I said, I started doing the villages now. Is you pay him $10,000
yes.
to build a house for somebody else that he then collects rent from, and the only thing he gives you is tickets for his system that you have to trade in with him to use.
Yep. It's nuts. Like
the oppression of the man codified.
Oh, and then to like improve the island to get the
because it's because he knows you want it too. That's how he gets away with it.
I'm going to take donations to build this bridge for you. Yeah. By the way,
who doesn't want KK? I want KK in my town.
Which was funny because, I visited Jeff's island at one point and he's showing me around and he brings me to like, I guess we were building a bridge or something or a ramp. He's like, dude, I didn't have any bells on me. He's like,
give me some
it's money. Like, pay the man. Like what? Like,
fucking, it's your tax.
It's like, I have no money. Like, and I came here to give you trash.
That was some funny shit. Yeah, yeah. You were like, I don't have no money.
Yeah, it's like all my money's in the bank. which now I don't have any because like it cost me. I had to build two more bridges and like four ramps, and then like a bunch of shit like placed around the island. To get to the 3-star rating.
Yeah.
And then what's even funnier is like, so like you sit down at Isabel and check the thing and she's like, wah, 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 wah. It's like, oh, there's like, she's reading the feedback that you get. And it turns to the stupid raccoon's like, oh my God, that's it. And then it's frustrating. Earl, when you get there, it's like, I can't wait. Cause it's like, I understand there's not a story to it, but it's like, come on, stretch it a little bit. But yeah, like it's fine. I'll want to see it like at Halloween and in Christmas
for sure.
Like that's when that game kind of shines through a little bit, and the charm pulls through. I'll be happy to get away from it for a little bit though. So
yeah, I forgot if we mentioned it last week. I did like the Mayday stuff. I thought that was really cute, and I hope they have more stuff like that.
Yeah.
It'll like Puzzle Island and stuff. And I thought that was a very
nice Mayday. Way. Yeah, that was cool.
I'd like to see more of that. Do we know when the next event is?
It is. It's wedding season. I think that's in June.
Okay. Oh, God.
You're missing out, Tony.
No, I'm not. I'm really not.
just clear to save. Give it to your son.
That's right. This is not for me. This is absolutely not for me. I'm going back to Victory and Glory.
I've been playing a little bit of Gears Tactics every day. That game's fun. I am jealous of how it looks on Tony's machine. So
yeah, you should upgrade because it looks awesome.
Yeah.
Like when they do the executions, oh, beautiful.
Oh, sure. Like I don't have, if you have like nice dynamic lighting, I do not have any of that. It looks like if it looks like a 360 game, but with bad lighting. But I enjoy the game. It's fun. It's an enjoyable tactics game.
I think you'll get the full experience when it comes out on Xbox.
Yeah. And I'll kind of know how to play through some of these scenarios at that point. I'm not necessarily a fan of the side missions. We talked about that a little bit last week. They're kind of just story halters.
Right. They're filler. they make the campaign longer, and they're not interesting.
Like, I would prefer just give me like I think the story missions are actually fairly well done for the most part. The boss battles are great.
Yeah.
But they have these like, oh, do a sabotage mission or do a control mission. It's like, all right, they're fine, but this isn't what I'm here for. And then I decided I'm going to play some Castlevania. So I've been playing Castlevania Anniversary Collection, played through the first Castlevania, and then tonight beat Simon's Quest. Those games are great.
I have never beaten Simon's Quest. I don't even think I've ever gotten close.
So I beat it. What did I play? I played it last year, not through the Anniversary Collection, because I played it before that was announced. That was the first time I beat it, because as a kid, like, I had no idea what the fuck was going on. Like, that game is near impenetrable unless you have a guide. Because there's a lot of shit that just doesn't make sense. But now that I know what it is, like, it was pretty easy to get through. It's actually a pretty easy Castlevania game. Instead of one castle, like, there's multiple towns and levels and mansions to kind of go through. And there's only three bosses in the entire game. But it's a ton of fun.
How long would you say that game is?
Simon's Quest?
Yeah.
I beat it this time in 4 hours.
Okay. That's so funny, though, because, like, I played a lot of it when I was a kid. Lot. But it was I never beat it, and I guarantee I never got close. It's not really that long of a game.
No.
Like, I was reading that, I was like, what the fuck?
Like, it's literally designed, so I've never gotten the good ending. There's three endings. To the game. I've never gotten the good ending. I've always gotten the bad ending. The good ending requires you to beat it within 7 day and night cycles. And they're pretty quick. Like, they happen like every 10 minutes or so. So, like, there are people out there that have gotten the good ending, and they must beat it in like an hour and a half or something.
Wow.
It took me 4 hours, and I knew what to do this time. There's like some weird stuff, like,
The kneeling and
shit. Yeah, you gotta kneel in front of the lake, and it'll drain the lake. You need to kneel in front of the cliff with holding a particular orb, because if you're not holding that orb, like, the tornado won't come to take you to the higher level. And it's weird, and there's like weird, strange shit in it. Like, there's a leveling system where, like, as you kill enemies, they drop hearts, and you'll get experience when you pick up those hearts. And you'll level up and get more health and do more damage and take less damage as you level up. It's just weird. Like, it's stuff that does not show up in other early Castlevania games. Like, you know, we do get a leveling system and equipment and inventory. You get all that stuff in, like, Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
But it was like, the framework for that is there in Simon's Quest.
And it is like kind of a open map type deal, like, where it's like you said, it's not just, you know, most Castlevania games, like the 2D ones, are just like 2D levels. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, very linear.
Go through the castle.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, once it got onto, after Symphony of the Night, any, like, you know, all those Game Boy ones are like that too, but, like, yeah, the original games were just these very side-scroller, like, action games, you know, and this was, you know, it was that, but explore more, you know?
Yeah, and it didn't help, like, and I don't know if the Japanese version was better in this regard, but the English version of it has a bad translation. So it's like the clues that you would get don't make sense.
Yeah.
But it adds the mystique of the franchise.
It does.
I always loved that game when I was a kid. Like, I liked it, I think, more than the others, weirdly enough. But probably because, like you said, it is like it's not as difficult. Like,
you know, it's not, and like there's upgrades. Like, and you don't like in Castlevania when you die, like you lose your whip upgrades, right? But in this, like, you're buying equipment, so like you buy the chain whip and. That sticks with it for the time, and if you upgrade to the flame whip, like, you don't lose that flame whip like you do in the other Castlevanias. Like, you have it. So that collection is fucking great. I'm gonna play through the rest of them.
Hell yeah! I think everyone should have taken advantage of the sale a couple weeks back, where that and Contra were like $8. Yeah. I think the Contra collection is great too. I just think that Castlevania has more good games on it in a way. You know what I mean? Like,
I really hope Konami, I hope they did well for them. And I hope that if they did well, that Konami looks at that and goes, hey, we should make a second one. Cause Castlevania has enough that you could do another collection.
Dude, give me those Game Boy games too. Yep. Even like GBA games. So yeah, good.
The GBA games. You have, you know, Symphony of the Night. Rondo of Blood didn't make it on there.
Yeah.
Dracula X, which is kind of just the, you know, Americanized Rondo of Blood, but changed a bit.
DS games.
The DS games, which, I mean, yeah, the map is like on that bottom screen, but you could find a way to, like, you pause and you can see the map or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think the DS games had anything that you necessarily needed the touchpad for.
I think they used them, but again, could probably come up with something pretty minimal, right, to make it work.
Yeah. So I would, you know, give me more of those Castlevania games. They're great. And that's it for me. Earl, what have you been up to?
You know, drinking my sorrows away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, aside from that, video game wise, I've been all over the place, but some good places. I think first off, I finally got around to beating Pokemon Sword this weekend.
Nice.
I was like, I need to. I wanted to play other games on my Switch, and I'm like, I'm not gonna do it until I finish Animal Crossings. I mean, well, Pokemon. So I set my mind to that, and I finished that this week, which is really nice. It's so weird, though, because, like, you beat the game. One, the first end game kind of goes full anime. Like, it stops becoming about hunting Pokemon, and it's, like, stopping this dude from unleashing, like, Pokemon Armageddon on the world, which is such a strange conceit. And then you do that, and then it's like, oh yeah, we're just going to continue this Pokemon gym battle you were having, right? So go on. I'm like, okay. But you beat that, you become the Pokemon champion, and it's like, oh, the game's not over. There's actually, like, a post-game story. Which is like, it's like, that, like, crap, we've had this storyline going, we forgot to wrap it up. It's just thrown in after the credits. And that's kind of where it was, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to start this right now, I'll go back to it. So in lieu of that, like I've been saying, I've been on a hunt for finding an RPG to play outside of Animal Crossing. And I did the thing I was trying to avoid to do because I know I was going to play it anyhow. But I went back to Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I had the DLC Torin the Golden Country, which is about a 20-hour expansion. Well, it's a prequel to the game. So it tells the story of what happened in that world, I think 500 years before the event of the main game. And it came out, it's a standalone DLC. It came out about a year after the original game, so 2018. And it has some marked improvements. I think they simplified a lot of stuff. I think they made a lot of wise decisions with the battle system. I think that the characters, the main character is a female, and she's a lot less gratuitous than some of the female characters in the main game. Though, because, again, this is set 500 years before the game, and I don't know much of any of you played Xenoblade 2, a lot of these characters are the same from the main game because they are kind of immortal beings. In a way, it's explained that, like, they can they don't die, but their onus can die when their onus die to lose memory. So like, they may not exactly remember what happened. You do figure out what happened 500 years ago in the actual game, but this is kind of fishing out more.
Okay.
You start off in a new area. Within like the first 4 hours, you kind of return to one of the main areas of the first game. And it's seeing it from this perspective of like how time has changed. And like when you go to the first town, it's like, it's not a town. It's just like a husk that got destroyed. So it's interesting to kind of see like, oh, you know, like in a few centuries, I guess, this would be rebuilt and it would be thriving in the IVA. But right now, that's not it. Right now, it's just this husk of a town and stuff like that. The music, I think it has one of the jazziest bedroom themes I've heard in an RPG. It's very catchy. It's very hummy. But yeah, it's Xenoblade Chronicles. It's a very similar graphical style, a very similar battle system. I think the major change to this one is you have blades like you have in Xenoblade, the core game, but it seems like they're more character driven, so you don't necessarily get a bunch of random blades, and you don't have like three floating around. I think you can have two, and like, they have actual relationships with the characters and stuff like that. So that's really neat. So yeah, I will continue that. I put in like 4 or 5 hours already. I'm a huge fan.
You said it's a kind of a prequel to 2. Would you recommend playing that before 2?
Right now, I would have to get deeper into the game because I want to see how they present everything.
Okay.
Because right now, some of the characters show up and it's like, oh yeah, I remember them from that. Like they're in the core game as either like. One of the characters is in the game. She is a core character in the actual main game, but it's a weird way to explain it because it's partially a spoiler, but somehow or another, she ends up being two different characters in the main game. And I'm kind of curious. But so far, it hasn't been so reliant on like, hey, you remember this from the main game, right? You remember? But some of it is more like, oh yeah, this is kind of cool if you've played the main game, but I'm curious to see how it plays out, because if it's like, oh yeah, so some of the plot revelations in the main game may not hit as much if you kind of know the story already.
Right.
So I'll see how that goes. Like I said, I was late here tonight because I was playing Diablo 3 with some friends on the Switch. We decided to mix it up a bit from Marvel and Nine Parchments and tried Diablo 3. So far, you know, Diablo 3, it's a ton of fun. It's, I'm the demon hunter. Our friend's a necromancer. One is the witch doctor, and another one is the wizard? Warlock? One of those two. Something magical.
I like the demon hunter.
Yeah, it's a... I like any class that kind of gives me an advantage of like being mid-range, so I don't necessarily have to get into the fight, but if I had to, you can kind of defend yourself, but you have to get out of there as soon as possible.
Right.
But like, give me something where I can like hang back, but like I'm not defenseless. Like sometimes you have this with healing classes, which I don't mind, but like, they have to be so far back that you're getting in on the action. So yeah, so far it's been a fun character. And the other thing about that game, which I guess I really had not noticed before, is they level you up at a decent clip. We played for about 2 hours, and we went from level 1 to 18. I assume as you get deeper into the game, it slows down a bit, but that is still a really good clip. And almost every time you level up, you're getting a passive ability, you're getting a new ability, you're getting a perk on one of your other abilities. So it constantly feels like you're gaining something. Where a lot of, like, you know, I compare it to Marvel or something like that, where, like, you level up, and, like, sometimes it doesn't, like, especially part 3, you have 4 base moves. You level up, like, multiple times. You're not doing anything, because, like, once you get the base move, it's not like your level up matters. You get points to put into it, but you control that.
Right. Like, and I think it will slow down for you at some point. Do you know what act you're in?
I think we're still in Act 1.
Okay. I think there's 70 base levels.
Yeah.
And then, like, once you hit 70, they're what they call Paragon levels, and that basically they are account levels that add bonuses across the board to all of your characters that you have.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Yeah. So like you know, you're adding, you know, whatever your points are. So it levels forever, but you at some point you'll stop getting skills and stuff. Like you'll have everything.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, again, it's just fine. But the fact that like so far it just feels like, okay, every time I'm doing something, I'm leveling up, just feels great. Like yeah. I assume like any game, it's going to get to a point where it's like, you probably aren't getting new abilities, but you are kind of grinding gear and equipment to, you know, get stronger and fight stronger enemies.
Yep. I mean, that's what a lot of that game is, but I think that, especially a first time through, it has a nice carrot on the stick in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, I will say it's weird because I don't even see it as a character on the stick, which it is, but because I'm not paying attention to the level, it's just like, oh yeah, I killed a bunch of stuff. Like it does that thing. Halo does this too. And I see my other shooters do it as well, where it's like you get on this kill streak and it's like, oh man, you got 50 kills. Outrageous. I'm like, yes, give me that number. That's my carrot on the stick, is like when you get, you know, like in Halo, when you get that kill Taka.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, that's when you fight, yes, I am a god among men. more games need that. Yeah. The one thing I will say, because I will talk about this. The art style is butt ugly, though. That game is nothing good. I don't mean graphic. It's just, it's really dark. It's very easy to kind of get lost in the mass of things on screen at times. And I bring this up partially because one of the other games I tried out this week was the Torchlight 2 demo. Mm-hmm. I think I had mentioned before, and that is, it has a really nice defined kind of shell shaded art style that I'm here for, and I think I'm going to pick that up as well. I don't know why I'm going to play two of the same games at the same time. Oh, three, because I'm also playing Path of Exile. But, you know, it is something. The only thing that bothers me, and it could be because I've been playing Marvel, it could be because I'm playing Nine Parchment, is I always try to use the right analog stick to aim, and these games don't have an aiming functionality, at least on console. So it's like in Diablo, it's a roll move, and in Torchlight, I believe it's a camera zoom. So it just keeps on frustrating me because I'm like trying to aim, and it's like, nope, you're just moving the camera closer to you, or you're going to dodge roll. Because I was fighting a bunch of enemies and I was dodge rolling a bunch. I'm like, why am I I'm like, oh, the analog stick, that's why.
So why don't all these games have the same controls? Why?
I mean, because I like to play mid-range characters, I know it's probably not a big deal for like melee characters, or maybe even wizards or necromancers, but if you have a character that's going to shoot something, you kind of want to be able to aim the stick in the direction you want to. Like it kind of aims in the general direction you're facing. Like if you line up that way, and like you kill an enemy in front of you, you kind of want to just aim to the right or left of you. I don't want to have to necessarily reorient my character doing that.
That's fair.
It's a minor complaint in the grand scheme of things, but it is my complaint.
I will say, I think, and if you're not enjoying the art style in Act One, maybe you won't enjoy it at all. But as you move through that game, you will go to different locales with different kind of. They'll look different, like, but you're never going to get that kind of defined cell shaded look that you will from Torchlight.
Yeah, I'm not gonna kick. I mean, I've played some of Diablo before. I'm not gonna kick it out of bed, but you know, it's not necessarily my jam as far as art styles go.
Right. Which is funny because I remember they had a much more cartoony art style when they first debuted that game, and the fan base went crazy that they reverted more to this more classic style, I guess.
Wait, the Diablo fan base reacted negatively to something?
Never, to everything.
Never. I don't believe it.
I am shocked. Shocked, I say.
They are maybe the worst.
I will kind of disagree when we get to news.
Okay. they're bad. We'll put it that way. But I think maybe all fan bases are bad. But
that's what I'm learning really quickly.
Okay.
I will say, and you know, just to kind of get back on this real quick, So far, I think the Animal Crossing fan base has been really welcoming and pleasing so far.
Yeah.
So they got that going for them.
Yeah, and they're super creative. That fan base is doing amazing things.
I guess that's what happens when you're not toxic.
You play anything else?
I started Journey, which I realize isn't a long game, but I started it one night, and it's kind of nifty how you just kind of meet somebody in the desert, and they start being your co-op partner. And, you know, you talk to each other with these really weird beeps and boops.
Just like real life.
Just like real life. But I really enjoy that game, and I do want to get back to it. It just was one of those things where when I started it, I was just like, it was like Thursday or Friday, and like those are weird days for me because like then the weekend just kind of is taken up by everything else. But I do want to get back to it. I think, you know, the opposite art style is really great. Granted, it's mostly sandy areas so far, but I like the, you know, that I like the little things like, you know, finding the little pieces of parchments that help you float. I like exploring and trying to navigate the spaces. And again, I really like the idea of like this nonverbal communication you have with a random stranger. So yeah, I think that's everything I've played this week.
Nice. All right. There was some news. We talked about Tony Hawk already.
About Tony Hawk.
What else we got?
We can now talk about the other negative fan base. We had an announcement of a new Paper Mario game this morning. Mario, the Origami King.
Which you and Jeff seemed very excited for.
Oh yeah, I will say I'm a sucker for these games, even if they're not all great. I think I will admit that. I bought everyone Paper Mario, the Thousand Year Door, Mario, Sticker Star, Cryo Splash. It is. I made this comment earlier this morning. It is the fan base that is most defined by its early successes, and it's like people who are like, oh man, I hope they play the hits again. I get it. I understand Sticker Star is not great, and people have their and people don't necessarily have Paper Mario or Cryo Splash. But I will say, in not even the full 12 hours since it's been announced, in like 2 hours, I'm just like so sick of the Paper Mario fan base because, like I said, the Tony Hawk thing was really cool. I thought it was really nifty that they announced they had him text message a new game to people. So Nintendo does something cool too. They like they literally drop a new game on Twitter, and it's like it's out in 2 months.
I know, it's like done, it's finished.
Which is like, awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. Except the fan base is just like, oh man, this doesn't okay. Is this Paper Mario? Is it an RPG? Is it not an RPG? Is that a unique Toad? Is that it not a unique Toad? And I'm just like, what the hell are you folks going on about? Like, I hope this is more like an RPG. And I'm like, dude, at this point, there are more non-RPG Paper Mario games than there are RPG ones.
Yeah. So,
I think it will be, though. Like, I mean, I guess I'm assuming that, but...
I think the game has gone from pure RPG to kind of an RPG adventure mashup. And I think the thing that they've had problems with, and I think they got closer with Color Splash than they did with Sticker Star, is finding out how do you make those battles meaningful in that setting, where it's not necessarily just like, oh, you know, grind a bunch of enemies, get higher stats. And I think, I will admit, I think Sticker Star did it wrong, because Sticker Star is, essentially the problem with Sticker Star is it's a puzzle game that doesn't tell you it's a puzzle. Because it's like, we gotta find this sticker. You got to know how to bring this fan to this waterfall to throw the water away so you can open up the passage behind it. And it's like, at no point do you explain this to me. I think Cutter's Bass gets better because the battles make more sense and the paint mechanic is, yes, puzzle. I mean, you still have some mechanics, but that's more environmental puzzles than like, okay, I have to throw this red to hit the rock, and that makes sense to me. And the battles made sense. You got XP, you leveled up and stuff like that. That was fine. These people want a full-on experience where it's like, it's the same battle system, it's Mario, one partner, you have two enemies on the other side of the screen, you jump on them, you jump again, and again, you love Paper Mario, you love the Thousand Year Door, but at the same time, I'm just like, You folks can fan when Nintendo does the same game constantly. You can fan when they try something new with their franchise, though.
They've been giving like Mario RPGs for years with the Mario and Luigi games.
Yes, and that was honestly internally that made sense. They were like, you know what, it didn't make any sense to have two Mario RPG franchises. You know, another company would be like, okay, maybe one of these will not become a Mario game. That's another story. So they tried to do something different with the Paper Mario games, and I thought Super Paper Mario was a good way to go with it. Like I said, I enjoy Chrono Trigger. Sticker Star, I think, is the outlier.
I think Sticker Star is the worst one.
Yeah.
But I really like Super Paper Mario, and I think that, like, Color Splash, my only problem with Color Splash is I didn't, like, for whatever reason, I, like, stopped playing it. I don't remember what, so, like, hard for me to say, but I remember it being kind of really cool. Like, I don't know. I do think that, my opinion is I do think this will be closer to the first two, and I just feel like Nintendo this generation seems to know what they're doing with their franchises, so being optimistic, but I think it will be. I'm getting it either way. I'm excited for it.
No, I think it will be closer to the first two, but I still think, and even in the show, you could see it's going to have some of the spirit of Color Splash and Sticker Star. Like, it seems like the two main complaints with people, and I get it, but I also kind of, it's not a big deal to me. It's like people were upset that Nintendo replaced unique characters like Bobomet and Vivian and people like that with just like your partners with a Toad, your partner with Yoshi. And it's like, it's not a big deal. Like, it's a character that has a different color scheme. I get it. They had, you know, and if someone said I get it, a 1,000 Year Door and Paper Mario, two of my favorite games of all time. But I also am fine with them trying different stuff and seeing if it works or if it doesn't work. And I assume we'll get a Mario and Luigi game at some point, because again, that seems to have become the core RPG franchise. And I imagine it's because it sells better? Or they find the battle system more interesting. So. But yes, aside from the fan base being awful, game is out in 2 months, which is exciting. It fulfills what is kind of becoming a really cramped end of July, because Ghost of Tsushima is also out, I think, the same day.
Same day, yeah.
And there's a third game that's coming out as well that I forget the name of.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
But yes. So yeah, I mean, the summer's still pretty dead, but at least now between June and July, we have, what, 4 games that we know of?
Yeah, we got a... So for Memorial Day weekend, we were talking about this before the show. You got that shark, that GTA shark RPG. And then in June, you have The Last of Us, right? And
you're skipping over the big May title.
Wait, was there?
Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition.
Yep, so Xenoblade, when's that?
I think that's May 29th.
Okay, so we got Jaws, RPG, Xenoblade, The Last of Us Part 2.
TurboGrafx Mini?
Maybe.
Just throwing that out there.
Maybe. Looks like. I'm gonna hold to Earl there. Maybe. Between now and January 5th, Jeff, we should see that device.
When is Mortal Kombat out?
That's May 2, I think.
Is that May?
The new Mortal Kombat content? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's another big one.
I kind of want to get back into that game, dude. Like, the game was great.
Good at it, but it's a fun game.
It's an awesome game. Like, who else has it? You have it, Earl?
No. I'm OE by the Injustice one because I'm a DC whore. So yeah, there's that.
Am I the only one that owns 11?
I haven't played 11 yet.
Oh yeah, we did not talk about this, but and it's not major news. The Marvel Iron Man VR game got dated again for July 3rd. So that's also another one that's coming out.
There we go, finally. That's the one we were all waiting for.
That's the one we were waiting for. Yeah. So Jedi has Iron Man. It has Ghost of Tsushima. It has Paper Mario to Origami King.
That is a good name.
It's still a very light year, but it's something that we're building towards.
Yeah, things are shaping up. Like, we're gonna have Tony Hawk in September, and
I feel like I'm getting catered to at the very least this year.
Oh, come on, Crusader Kings 3 got a release date for September,
and I mean we're gonna have Assassin's Creed later in the year.
That's right.
Yeah. Mario Collection, it's happening, believe.
I think everybody believes that is true. It's more a sense of, I mean, part of what they did was, and this is the other thing I found funny, is like I had people, and I think I've had this friend on the show before. I assume Jeff and I probably run in much closer Nintendo circles, is that people were like, they did that. They just announced the game without a Direct. I'm like, you know, Directs are just like fancy PRs, right? They can just announce video games.
Yep. It
doesn't have to be like this whole half an hour presentation about it.
Also, so, I just remembered something. Like, at the end of the Mario, the Paper Mario trailer, I feel like they teased like a little Metroid stuff. I mean, there was a Metroid bit at the end there, so I'm like, are they like hinting to us? Like, are they winking at me that Metroid is coming? Like, Metroid Prime Collection is coming?
I love your optimism, Jeff. I don't know where we would be without it, honestly.
I think it was a little,
I mean, I think that it's hard not to read into that as a tease of Metroid in some form or fashion. But I mean, at the same time, they've already announced Metroid Prime 4. It could just be a tease of that.
Yeah, I guess. But we know that there's the Prime Collection, like it's real. It's coming.
Well, we don't know it's real until it's announced.
It's real.
I mean, it's the same way that Pikmin 4 has been coming for like the past decade.
Don't hurt me like this.
That game is going to come eventually. Eventually. For the Switch. Yeah,
I think there will be a Pikmin 4 on the Switch. I think so. And Metroid. It's all coming together for Jeffy.
You know what? I hope you get that, Jeff. Because if you do, then the rest of us also get good games. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is fair, but it's just like, yeah. And I guess this isn't necessarily our jam, but this is on Game Pass, so my Minecraft Dungeons is also coming out this month.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
I'm all ready for that. Pass,
so
is that a PC only game, or is it also for Xbox?
It's for everything.
It's Xbox. It's installed on my machine. Has been for like 2 months now.
Yeah, it's also on Switch and PS4, so.
Yep. That's fine. I know that you're out there playing Diablo 3 and Torchlight 2 and all those games, evidently. But I could use a new one to kind of play. And that one looks fun.
Yeah, like I am all for online card games at this moment. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the fact that I can't go anywhere. Who knows?
Could be it.
That's probably it. I forgot what it was like to interact with people face to face. I wonder if there's going to be like this awkward period where we all meet each other again. We're like,
yeah, probably.
How do I talk to a human? I've forgotten. Like, what is that thing you're doing with your hand? What does that mean? I don't understand.
Like, I'm just gonna call you on my phone.
Yeah.
I feel more comfortable looking at you through.
Let's text, and you're like sitting across the table from each other.
I was gonna say it's gonna be very funny. You're gonna be sitting in a bar, and everybody's like, "Okay, can we just put out Zoom calls now so we can kind of get the conversation?" Like, I don't know how to function without like my virtual backdrop anymore.
I need the Emperor's throne room behind me at all times. there's a couple other things here, right?
Yes, I mean, this is for you because you're the one I think who's most excited. I think Tony is too. Did either one of you check out the Ghost of Tsushima State of Play?
No,
it looks pretty cool.
It does look pretty, I will commit that.
What's that? Has the combat look good, Tony? Like
everything looks good. I really want it, like, right now. Give it to me now.
I like Sucker Punch. I think they do pretty good games. So.
They do some good games, and this looks awesome.
All right. Well, that's the same day as Paper Mario. So
that's right. I have them both pre-ordered. Give them to me.
Yeah.
And I think it was probably the best state of play to date. And it, because it focused on one game that we had not seen a ton of, it gave you some... I mean, yes, it's one of those things, and I think Nintendo Directs have the same problem. Whenever you get a deep dive of a video game, and it's like, you press start, and this is what it does. It kind of gets really old. And I'm not saying that's what they did, but right? Oh, yes, you can also unlock different costumes for him. And you could unlock costumes by connecting this die or on the map. And I'm like, did you really need to dedicate time to that? But aside from that, I think the game looks really good. I do like the focus on not necessarily one-on-one combat, but more intimate sort of play, where it's not necessarily like just press A repeatedly to chase up a bunch of enemies. It's like, you know, doing parries and stuff like that. So that's really cool. And again, like I said, game looks really pretty.
Yeah.
And I think the big story of the week, I guess, unless I'm missing something, is the Unreal 5 demo. Unreal Engine 5, because somebody thinks it's like tournament or something like that.
Right. Unreal is also a game series as well, so. Right.
Some people may forget that.
I really look forward to games made in this engine 2 years from now, 3 years from now. Yes, we can actually play the games that are, you know.
Yeah, so I mentioned last week with the Xbox thing that, like, you know, like they were selling us the steak without the sizzle. This was the sizzle without the steak. And I mean, this is kind of what people wanted, because it's like, what can next gen do? And it's like, this is what next gen can do. And then it's like, oh, but this isn't the game. I'm like, oh, okay. Thank you, I guess.
Right. So, and there's not going to be any games made in this engine for a while. Because any game made in the next 18 months is a cross-gen game, so they can't use this tech yet.
Right, so it's not going to work on PS4 or Xbox One. All right, well, I saw some screenshots of it. I did not see the thing in motion, but it looks really pretty.
It does, especially the part where she starts flying. That looks really cool. Though I will say, and this is just my negative attitude and bitchiness, it reminded me so much of the stuff people complained about with the 360 and PS3 era, where it's like brown, 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 wherever you look. And I get it, it's fancy, but I'm like, yeah, you could have done some colorful environments in this demo.
That would go against what Epic does. They love brown.
They do, which ironically is why Gears 4 and 5 pick much better than 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. Another studio decided to add some color to it. Though 3 looks pretty good. 3 is a much brighter, more colorful looking game.
And don't get me wrong, they look good. Like, I paid not remastered. What is Gears 1 called?
Ultimate Edition.
Yes, and it's a very pretty game. It's always been a pretty, like a technical achievement for a franchise, but it's not a pretty looker until 4 and 5, when it's like, oh, right, this world have colors. There's grass and there's skies, and they're not all brown.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they did a great job in 4 and 5 in making it more than just war-torn cityscape.
Yeah.
Or dark. Dark Factory or whatever.
Yeah, and I think you know, this is more, it's more of a graphic, but yeah, it also helps with the justification when you actually do see some really dusty brown sand, because it's then like, oh, this is really beat up. Not like, okay, this is beat up, but it's not as beat up as like the town we just went to. It's kind of the same thing.
Right.
It's like, oh, no, the towns are actually really nice, and then like you go to this factory, it's like, oh, it's dark and it's beat up. Like, oh, okay, that makes sense now.
And then we didn't touch on this one, the Mafia collection.
Yeah, it exists.
Nobody's excited for that one.
Nah. I never played. I think played the third one. I didn't really love it.
It was. I like the setting for the third one.
Yeah.
Like fake New Orleans, but I'm interested in that first one because I've tried to play that one and I find it near unplayable. But I've always I like that setting that it has, so that'll be interesting. I never played two, so if that comes in at a nice price, I may jump on that. It's gonna be funny. I think three will probably be the worst looking of them, though, right? Because one is getting a full remake. And two is probably getting some nice, you know, up-reses and everything. But three isn't that old.
No.
Three is a this gen game, right?
But I also imagine that three, from what I understand, from what I remember, was also the one that was least well received. So it's kind of like, okay, we'll get the one and two and we'll take three in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the extra game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like 3. 3 was fun.
And this is kind of, not breaking news, it's not super major, but Nintendo did announce that they're adding new games to the NES and Super Nintendo on the Nintendo Switch. So
what are we getting?
About fucking time.
Did they say what they're adding?
You're getting Operation Logic Bomb, never heard of it.
Mm.
Plano de Pon, which is, I believe, Tetris Attack. And okay. It's like their new version of Tetris Attack. You get Wild Guns, which is actually a really cool game. And then on the NES, we get a Rygar.
That's it. Come on.
Yeah.
Dude, dump like fucking 30 games on there. Come on, dude.
It is fascinating because for a company that really has the viral hit of this pandemic, you would think Nintendo would do more to kind of get garner some goodwill among fans. And I think adding a ton of NES and Super Nintendo games would have been a great deal, especially if you have like online functionality. I think it would have been a great deal better for them, but Nintendo's going
to have like they have the catalogs to do like this big like.
Well, I mean, I don't know
rolling,
if they have
like,
to do.
You could do it like where like shit gets added and taken away every month. Like they have enough stuff on the NES and SNES alone.
But how much is that is theirs?
Yes.
Well, not all the games on there are theirs.
Right, right. But like,
no,
that's
the
thing, right? Like,
yeah, that's the problem. Because like, you have, like, you know, Chris, the Castlevania collection, you have the Contra collection. Like, why could Konami give up that money? Sega's doing their thing with the Sonic game. They're doing the Sega. Like, if I was them, I would see if I could get Sega to do the Sega H game as part of this. But yeah, it's one of those things where, like, with the virtual console, nobody believed in that business model. So everybody's like, we'll give you our game. And as we've gone more and more on with that generation where Capcom's like, we could do, I think Capcom's done 4 Mega Man collections.
Yep.
Somehow out of the 20 games instead of just doing a Mega Man and X collection. You have the Castlevania collection, the Contra collection, you have the Hudson collection. You just mentioned the TurboGrafx-16. It's getting its own standalone mini console. Sega, like I said, has the Sega Ages. There's the Arcade Archives, which has its own thing, which again, I think of Arcade Archives and the Sega Ages as part of Virtual Console and that concept of like just re-releasing old games with some touched up stuff. But as part of this overall package, it's harder and harder for them to scope out games. Like they have their games, but there's not a ton of them. What I'm surprised they haven't really done is gone beyond the Super Nintendo and Nintendo generation, because we've done that, the Wii U, the 3DS already. Like, N64 and especially the GameCube, which we are, 19 years removed from its launch, there's a lot of games that are still kind of trapped on that. Like, we've never seen Sunshine again. We've never seen Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door. We've seen Metroid. We've seen Wind Waker. Luigi's Mansion's on the 3DS. You know, Smash Brothers, Melee, Mario Kart Double Dash. There's a lot of games that are just stocked in that system. And it's weird because, like, the Wii, there's a ton of Wii games you can play on the Wii U, or they've been ported upwards, or they've been ported to the 3DS. The Wii U doesn't exist. So all those games have been ported to the Switch, but the GameCube is just the GameCube.
we're gonna get that we're gonna get that Sunshine remake this year, right?
I mean, Jeff? We don't want that Sunshine remake, but
I mean, I'm not disagreeing, but we're gonna get it. All right. Before we wrap this up, we did receive in a question this week. Paul writes in a question for the podcast. Wants to know what our relationship between alcohol and games is. I'm gonna read it. It gets a little bit deep, but I'm gonna read through it. I grew up with an alcoholic father and have a wife that doesn't drink, so the two usually only meet over a game of Jackbox or Mario Kart. No, the question is a little ambiguous, but does playing certain games buzzed enhance your experience with them, or does it just depend on the genre? For instance, maybe liquor and RPGs don't mix. Also, has anybody blacked out while playing a story-based game?
I will go first, I think. Oddly enough, video games and drinking does not go hand-in-hand with me. For me, drinking and movies do, but drinking and video games don't, because I feel like it inhibits your reaction times and stuff like that. But also, like, it's such an active activity that it's harder to drink while doing it. Where, like, I could sit back throwing a movie on drink while that's going on, where I'd have to put the controller down or have it in one hand and stuff like that.
You need to try harder, man.
Like one of those bear hats and just says. That said, during the quarantine, I've been playing a lot of Jackbox, and that tends to be more of a social thing. So I'm drinking because I'm hanging out with friends while doing that. And in college, like, we had like Mario Kart drinking games and Mario Party drinking games. But that was college. You drank for anything. As I've gotten older, I do that yes and yes. Again, just because. And again, it's not that I won't play video games drunk or play video games after drinking, but I don't tend to think of it as too related, as in I'm going to drink while playing a video game.
I mean, I drink while I play games usually. I usually drink a beer. But, like, if I'm too drunk, or if I'm, like, drunker, like, then I don't want to play story-based shit, or, like, where. Or something like Zelda, where you have to, like, kind of figure out puzzles and figure out, like, where you're going next. Like, I'll just play something like action or Pac-Man or, like, arcadey type shit.
Tony Hawk 5.
Like, yeah. If I'm pretty drunk, like, or, like, yeah, it's just something where it doesn't matter what you're doing. Like, you know, even Animal Crossing is, like, kind of perfect for that. It's fine. Like, but yeah, usually when I'm playing, I at least have a couple beers. I don't know.
You know what I try to avoid when I drink? First-person shooters. That is not a good
idea. Yeah, that's not good. That's not a good idea.
I remember ages ago, I got home drunk one night. And my friend's on. And I'm like, I'll jump on. And that was a terrible experience because it's like, I think I see somebody over there that I want to try to shoot at. It was not a good time.
I don't know. I think I'm probably more like Earl on this, where I don't. I mean, I drink. That's not in question. But, yeah, I don't like. I generally don't sit and play games and drink at the same time. Like, I don't know. Like, when I'm playing a story based, like, I'm playing an RPG or something. Like, I want to be able to focus on it. And then, like, playing a competitive game, like, I just feel that I play like shit, like, and I don't need any help to play like shit. I already do. So yeah, like, something like Jackbox, Mario Kart, sports games when, like, friends are over playing, like NHL or Madden. But, yeah, generally not, like, only, like, kind of, like, socialize. Like, I'll have beer, like, when we get together and, like, play games on, like, a Tuesday night or something. But I won't, like, get blackout drunk doing it.
Yeah, but I question, is it because you're gaming, or is it because you're just hanging out with friends? And that's kind of the divide I have. And I give, yeah, if it's like we're playing this, I might have a drink. I don't think I always drink when we play games. Partially because it's usually a Tuesday night, which is right. I try not to drink Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, just because it's early in the work week. Wednesday is kind of a toss up. Thursday, Friday, hell yeah. yeah, so it's one of those things where, again, in my head, gaming and drinking.
It's a rough mix. Like, I will sit down, like, at the end of the day, I'll sit down, crack open a beer, and play some games, but I'll just have that one beer. Like, if I'm... And sometimes when I'm playing, something that's really good or really distracting, I'll forget the beer is there. Like, I'll look there, like, 2 hours later, like, oh, I never drank that beer that I opened. Oops.
Yeah, and that's what happened. I will say, on the flip side, like I said, movies and drinking goes well. I've drank a lot to video game movies. I've drank way too much to video game movies. So that makes up for it, I guess.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever passed out playing a game? Like, story based or not? Yeah.
No.
I've never
from drinking.
I did recently with Animal Crossing.
No, just in general, has anybody passed out? Like,
I've never passed out playing video games.
Oh yeah, I have.
I've definitely like you know, tried to play something and just fallen asleep.
Didn't you fall asleep on the podcast once?
Did I?
Yeah.
Did I? Maybe.
I just remember you falling asleep in the middle of the podcast. Awesome. We're like, oh,
we need to start recording like way later too.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I was like, how can people just like fall asleep like while they're doing something, like watching a movie? Like, I was like, it was inconceivable to me, but now it's very conceivable. Time catches up with you.
I can't. Like, people will fall. My wife will fall asleep watching a movie, and I don't understand. I can't. I literally can't.
I like 99% of the time still like can't do that. But if it's late enough and I've had enough to drink, oh yeah, dude. Like, I'll catch myself too. I'll be like, you're getting too tired. You should probably go to bed. I think that to myself, and the next thing I know, I fuck it up and I do fall asleep on the couch.
I've dozed off watching movies or TV shows late at night, where I will wake up and I'll turn everything off, and like the next morning I'll go back and I'm like, oh, I missed an entire episode or something like that, like a 20-minute show. But video games, I don't even know how you would do that, just because, like, again, I think of video games as being active, and if I just feel myself like not being able to do the controller or something. Like, that's kind of what happened with Journey, where I'm just like, oh, I'm getting tired. I'm not going to keep this going. I just turn it off and go to bed.
I did it with Animal Crossing. I can't think of too many other games, though, where, like, it's happened to me with a game. But I did it with Animal Crossing a couple of weeks ago. Because, like, you can just, like, sit there for a minute. You don't even have to, like, pause that game or do anything, you know? So I might have, like, looked at Twitter, put my phone back down. Next thing I know, I'm, like, zoning out, fell asleep. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But I know I woke up at, like, 3 or 4 in the morning. And like, it's just still standing there. Like, oops.
So this wasn't me, and I'm not sure if it was alcohol related or not. But twice with the same person, we were playing. The first time we were playing Halo 3 Legendary, and we were on the last level, and our one friend he passed out
at the last level.
Yeah. Like on like the warthog, like escape, like it's like
awesome.
So if you die, like we were just coming up to the warthog and he stopped moving and you can't bring them forward, so we had to reach the next checkpoint to warp him into us, because if we died on our way there, we would warp back to the beginning of of it. It was a nightmare. And then recently, that was a few years ago, but recently we've been playing a Divinity 2, and it was like 3 in the morning. I'm not sure why the fuck a bunch of like, you know, 30, 39, 40-year-old dudes are playing Divinity at 3 in the morning. But he stopped responding, and he was the one that had the save. And I don't think he saved it. So we don't let him be in charge anymore. Yeah, I mean, I've definitely passed out. My wife has come out and been like, hey, it's time. You should go to bed. Like, I'm good. But from drinking.
I don't think my friend listens to this show. So for my birthday, I think I mentioned that we did a Zoom call and we watched Piranhas 3D. And, you know, afterwards we were talking or whatever. And we're all in video chat. And my friend just straight up passed us out on video chat. And he's there for like 20 minutes or so. On the side, he just like messaged his girlfriend being, I think so-and-so for his team. Can you go wake them up? And then like 5 minutes later, she comes on screen. She's and like, they're talking and the video chat's still going on and it just shuts off. And she's like, the next day, she's like, oh yeah, he did fall asleep. I'm like, oh yeah, we saw that. But I'm just like, I could, like, if I had, I can't do that. Like, a few folks, because I'm honestly, like, before, like, as we were recording this podcast, I took some melatonin because I've been having trouble falling asleep recently. And I'm like, I need to figure out how to do that, how to just fall asleep on a dime. Because I'd love for that to happen.
One more story about falling asleep. But, Tony, you might remember, so I think you were on the show. Teabag Radio.
Oh yes,
I know exactly. By Sean and Earl. You know Sean from our group chat, but
yeah,
he used to co-host a podcast called Teabag Radio with two of his buddies, and they had us on for this big blowout 10th episode. the host, Mark, Dub.
Poor Dub.
He drank so much. Like 40 minutes in, he just passed out.
Disappeared. Like, what happened to him? Where did he go?
And
he was so drunk the whole episode. Yeah. He was like, hey, what you guys been playing?
He kept asking the same questions over and over again. Until
every person, like the previous 10 minutes hadn't happened at all.
he passed out. And we continued recording for another like 2 hours probably. And he woke up like, sorry guys, I passed out. I need to go throw up now, and left. So I've never been that point, but that was fun.
It happens to us all.
Yeah.
But to answer the question, we will maybe get drunk next week playing board games and see where it goes.
Yeah. I think board games are an easier, I mean, yes. Granted, we are playing them on our computers, so we have to be a little more on the ball with it, but they're not reflex based generally.
And so, yeah, depending on the board game, some of those turns can take forever.
Yeah.
Like, I bought one of the Humble Bundles, and my friends wanted to play a game called Psyched. And like, each turn is like 2 or 3 minutes. I'm like, this. Or actually, I think I mentioned this before. We played Charterstone, and there's like 10 minutes in between each turn. So I'm like, I usually cook dinner while we're playing it, just because it's easy to just run off and get my food.
What did I miss?
Yeah, and it's the thing is, because like, it's competitive, but it's not really, because you're not working against people. You're just kind of working for you. Like, you're trying to win, but you don't really dick over other people. So it's more like, I don't care what I miss. What am I doing next? Because like, they can't do anything that necessarily prevents you from doing something. So. Yeah, it's like, oh, is it my turn? Like, okay, this is the move I had in mind. Go back to checking on dinner.
So. Well, Paul, I hope that answers your question. Not sure it did, but other than that, we generally don't drink a ton while playing games. At least not to the point of, generally passing out. Although Jeff did say he has.
Okay,
but I guess I'm the one that I do. Like, if I'm playing games, like a video game, like at night, not during the day, but if I'm playing a video game at night, I usually have beers.
But
not getting drunk,
I'm curious about the reverse now. So if anybody out there has any kind of connection with video games and drinking, I'd love to hear it. And I would love to hear if you've passed out from drinking pain at video game. Which game and how did you do it? Was it like, were you playing like Final Fantasy and you had a bit too much whiskey that night?
You woke up in Call of Duty with like fucking 60 losses.
That would be hysterical.
Well, I was going to say, though, that's the other thing, though, because I could be wrong. A lot of games now have this kind of auto-kick thing if you're not active.
Yeah.
Or, like, so, like, it wouldn't be a thing that would happen. Like, you'd wake up and you're like, oh, you got booted from this game for inactivity.
Yeah, if you're playing a Master Chief Collection, like, if you're just standing there, it will boot you from the game. All right, well, maybe we'll play some board games this week. Write in. Tell us your game and drinking stories. We'd love to hear them. Drinking stories are funny, so.
Yes.
And we will be back next week. It is, unfortunately, since we record Thursday night, we will not have a chance to try out Shark GTA yet. The more, Jeff, you've like convinced me now. It's like I don't even care what the reviews are. Like, I just want to fucking get it.
You don't want it. You don't want it.
Keep it's going to be terrible, but I'm going to sit here and buy it and like I'd probably play through it.
Yes. Right. And if anybody's in the market, the Wonderful 101 comes out digitally next week. For us backers of the Kickstarter, it's out now on. You have the code. I have a Steam code I'm not going to redeem, so if somebody wants that, let me know. And I'll get the physical copy of the Switch version sometime in June.
Nice. So we'll have Wonderful 101 impressions. Re-impressions. Or wait, do you have a digital Switch version?
No, I apparently did not back the digital Switch version. I backed the physical and some other swag, but I was too cheap to go all the way for $100 for a game I already own. And yeah, so because the physical versions were delayed, they gave everybody a Steam code, but I'm not going to pay it on my PC.
Nah, that's fine.
So we'll see.
Oh, maybe I not mean, re-impressions of that yet, but
we'll see.
Just we'll out see. There, play it. All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.
Wow. I'm overwhelmed by your enthusiasm. My God.